Welcome to We Are Liverpool, where myself, Peter McDowell, and Robbie Fowler speak to LFC's past and present to discover more about their lives on and off the pitch. If you haven't already, please give us a follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you can watch all of our episodes on the club's official YouTube channel as well. This is our fifth episode, and seeing as we've been here five times, there was really only one guest we could get on the show. Here's what's coming up today.
Do you know who is this man? He's God.
Whoa.
It's only one of them, Rafa.
Sorry, Robbie, but he said that. When I came here, Rick Parry told me, in 3 years, we want to compete. They say, oh, Rafa was not putting the arm on the shoulder of players, but you have to push players if you want to compete and you want to win. Go to the final, and I remember I was writing 2-0 down what I have to say. And then we conceded their goal. Your movements, your game intelligence, your finishing was so good. Anyone could be learning from you.
I can't believe you never played anymore, the way you're talking, though.
That's right, Rafa Benitez joins us today, and before we hear from him, we just want to let you know about the LFC Store app. Apple and Android users can download it now. It'll give you access to exclusive discounts and offers on official products. Right, let's dive into episode 5 of We Are Liverpool with Rafa.
Rafa, great to see you. Thanks for spending some
nice
time with us. Let's start like we do in all the podcasts. We Are Liverpool. What is your Liverpool?
And it's easy for me because my memories are about the fans, celebrations, and the way that they were treating me and my family. So I'm really happy in the city, but especially, obviously, the way that they were treating me from day one is more about the fans and the city.
Because that says everything about the affection you have for the area, that you still live here. You've had so many clubs, you've been all over the world since, but your base is still here on Merseyside.
And you will understand why. Who is the boss at home? My wife, my daughters. So they say, okay, we have to stay here, and then you stay here. No, I'm fine. I'm happy. It's a nice area, and the people is very friendly, so it's quite happy here.
Rafa, can I obviously just say this? So you talk about obviously the affection from the fans. When I have a lot of affection for you now, I think obviously the reason why is one of my proudest moments in football was obviously coming back to Liverpool. I mean, I've been lucky enough to score goals, win trophies, but getting a chance to re-sign to Liverpool was probably my happiest and proudest moment. So I've got a lot to thank you for.
I'm really pleased. And I told you the other day in another program when we were talking about the expression that you say, over the moon, that I was learning. I was, for me, I think for anyone. So you have been a player, you are a legend here, you have been an amazing player, the fans, they love you. And then to come back at home, I think it's a special moment that you are feeling or you were feeling at this time. And I was really pleased to do that because everybody was telling me very nice things about you. You were asking me that I could play you even more, but I would say my feeling when you came here, you were a fantastic finisher. So I could see that the movements, the game intelligence, all these things. You were not fully fit, but you were very, very good. And then that was the main thing for me. It was amazing to coach you too.
So basically you're saying that is why you never played me?
No.
I just couldn't run?
No. So we were doing a specific plan for you because you have so many injuries the year before, and then we have to be very careful. But in terms of football, I think that you were bringing the passion, the thing that sometimes in some teams you are missing, you were bringing that, and also the quality that you had and the game intelligence that is quite good. Now that you are a coach and then you have been working with players, you will realize how difficult it is to manage these kind of players that they are.
I do agree with you, but I'd have played me more.
Oh, for sure, because you were the coach then.
The reason I came back was it to give the club a lift? Was it because, I mean, mentioning obviously I was tactically not a bad player, but was it just to give the club a little bit of a lift at that particular time?
No, everyone. When you talk about the club, normally you are talking just about fans and everything, but also the team. So to have someone with your quality on the pitch, and then in a training session, sometimes the young players, they are just learning, training with good players. So your movements, your game intelligence, your finishing was so good that anyone could be learning from you. And I think that is very positive anyway. And
I can't believe you never played me more. The way you're talking now.
No, but I remember one game, and I will not say the opponents, but I remember one game I play you with Crouch, and then you had to do some movements. You did the movements right, but after you had to run into the space, and you were not quick enough to get the advantage of that.
But you know what, Sarah, I wasn't there for the running. I was just there to score goals, right?
Yeah, but sometimes you know that you have to get into the box at the right time. So again, I would say it depends on your team. So sometimes if you are attacking and you are always attacking, then you can be there. But when you sometimes you have to play counter-attack or you have to, or the other team is pushing you and then you have to drop off a little bit, is when you need this physicality to have fresh legs or pace or whatever. Then when we could be attacking, you will be great in the box. But also you have to consider the people around you. So then if you have teammates that they were doing well, sometimes even if you are not happy, you have to upset that. And that is one of the things, and that is my advice to you as a senior manager. When you have experienced players, they have to be positive. Because if they are positive, the young players, they will follow. They will not have any excuse and they will follow.
Did you think it was a wind-up when he phoned you and said he wanted you back?
Yes, I did. Obviously, I was obviously at Man City. I fell out with the manager there, believe it or not, and I wasn't playing. So all of a sudden, I get this phone call, would I be interested in coming back? And I actually did think it was a bit of a wind-up, in all honesty, because I've gone from not playing for Man City and then, you know, with a chance of playing for Liverpool. Now, I think everyone knows my affiliation and my love for Liverpool. And as I said to, obviously, the boss then, just as I've come back, it was the proudest moment. And I did. I was actually playing golf and I actually got a phone call, would I be interested in going back to Liverpool? And I actually just left my club. And I like golf, but not as much as footy and Liverpool, obviously. But I left my clubs and I went home. And I remember obviously signing his contract at Anfield. And it was in Rick Parry's office in the Kop. It's like being a kid on Christmas morning. I was over the moon. I remember saying to Rick, because I was worried about a medical. And I remember saying to Rick, you know, what about my medical? And Rick went, don't worry about that. You know, you're only here for 6 months. But thankfully, I've done okay and got an extra year.
Yeah, it was a challenge for the fitness coach, Paco, because we didn't want him to get injured. So we knew that he has a bad record at this time. And then we needed to be very careful. And he was working hard. Sometimes when you are passionate and you want to do well, you are working harder than when you are fit. Because when you are fit, you don't consider anything. But when you know that you have to be well and you have to do well for the fans, for everyone, for yourself, I think you take care and then you try to do things. And he was working hard, trying to be fit.
You know what? You know, when I obviously came back, and I mean, I waited a little while to score my first goal. But I think I'd scored maybe 3 goals that were offside before that one.
It was a spectacular one that was ruled.
I mean, that was on my debut. Actually, just scored an overhead kick. It was brilliant. I mean, it was offside, to be fair. Only a little bit.
Yeah. I remember against Galatasaray, you scored against Galatasaray. Yeah. It was a cross from Bellamy, something like that. I don't remember the goals like him, but I remember this one because I was talking with Bellamy because he was always running to the corner. I said, why you run to the corner? Go straight to the goal. And in this case, he runs to the corner and make the cross and you score the goal.
I felt like therapy, that. Are you over it now or not?
I wanted to play all the time. That was just me. I knew I wasn't going to play many games, and I appreciated that. The fact that I got to put on the red shirt again. My last game was Charlton, last game of the season. It was a couple of weeks before the Champions League final. And I remember coming off the training pitch, and obviously I was playing. And I remember you having a conversation with me, you know, have you found a club for next year? And my conversation to you was, well, I don't know, I should be looking. And you were like dry as a bone, just saying, and I went, yeah, you're not going to be here. And I was upset, but, you know.
Yeah, but that,
I get this, you.
For me, everything's about to win, to do well, to be professional, to be sure that I make the right decisions. And sometimes the approach could be different. They say, oh, Rafa was not putting the arm on the shoulder of players, blah, blah, blah. But you have to push players if you want to compete and you want to win. And you, when you are a manager, normally, if you have a great team and then you are nice with players, you are fine, but you are in the middle of the table. If you want to win, you have to push a little bit. If you don't push, you know, you don't get the best from a player. And maybe some players, they need that. They need the arm on the shoulder. But the majority, and my experience, is that you push a little bit and then they are giving you something more and something more.
Are your conversations with players based on how you are through the week? So if you've got a good relationship and you have a good talking relationship, you can obviously speak to them maybe a little bit differently about leaving them out or maybe leaving the club.
No, I change a lot. I have more experience now. Always I say that experience is what you do, what happened to you. Always you are learning something. The good thing about the experience is that you can use this experience and you can make less mistakes. Obviously, on my career, I have made a lot of mistakes, but they have won a lot of trophies. Then it's not it's not the wrong way. It's the right way mm-hmm. for me because we have won for years in different countries. But it's true that maybe for another manager is another way, and maybe for some players, you have 25, you have children, everyone is different. You have to be honest, and everyone is different. You cannot say it's the same for everyone. It's not true. You have to be honest. Then I remember one player complaining because in the first meeting, I told him, listen, you have done this wrong in your career. Now, if you are coming here, I want to be sure that you know that I know, and I don't want to see this behavior. And then he said, oh, that was negative. No, I was honest. So then you are telling a player, I'm expecting from you this or that. After, if I don't keep my word, you can say to me, no, you told me this and you did that. Normally, I try to keep my word 99.99% of the time. Why? Because if not, you will tell me, oh, this or that. Sometimes you try to do what you want to do and then something happened and you have to change. And then you apologize, the player said, sorry, I have to do that. The player will not understand anyway, maybe some of them, but it's what you have to do because you are there for winning and the fans will appreciate that. And the players in a winning environment, they will be happier than it's just the, oh, I play and we lose. No, you have to win. That's it.
It's funny because a lot of players say that they just want managers to be honest with them.
Yeah.
But then you can still be accused of being cold with people. You were very different, for example, to the relationship perhaps the players had personally with Gerard Houllier. Was that something you felt that the players needed?
No,
honesty.
No, but I'm not... You're thinking about Rafa Benitez in England and when just arrived to Liverpool. My English was not the best. I have very good relationship with people. The point is that when you have to tell a player you will not play, he will not be happy. That's it. And the players, and that's something that Robbie will know in a future, he knows now, but he will know in a future also as a manager. If you are playing, you're happy. When you are on the bench, sometimes you say, if he has a problem, maybe I can play in his position. So you are not fully supportive, some of them. And if you are in the stands, you say, if they lose, I will have more chances. That is the reality. And you have to manage that and try to keep the players happy, try to keep the players committed. But the reality is some players, they are just... I had one player who was just thinking about his stats. It doesn't matter, he was conceding goals and he was making mistakes. He was thinking about his stats. And still the fans, they support him because he was making a cross. Yeah, but we concede two goals in the meantime. You as a manager, you have a responsibility and you have to try to bring the best from every player. And some players, obviously, they will not understand that. Talking about senior players in the team, I have had, talking with Napoli now, with my friends, we have a keeper that was 41 years old. And he was the best in every training session. He was so competitive and he was pushing the others and everybody wanted to beat him. And then it was, okay, finishing at the end. He goes, you will not score, blah, blah. He was creating a fantastic atmosphere and he couldn't play. He didn't play. He was 41. He was the third keeper. But he was so good in the dressing room because he was not selfish. He was really pleased to be there. And that is something that players, they don't understand. They understand that when they are getting older or when they are managers.
Yeah.
And they have to make decisions.
It sounds a bit silly, but do you want your players to be unhappy that they're not playing, or is it become be unhappy at first and then accept it and then adapt to the situation?
No. They have to push me in a professional, in the right way, because if not, if they are happy without playing, it's wrong because they are not competitive. But if they push you in the wrong way, it's a lack of respect for the other players.
Yeah.
Because the other players are training hard and they deserve to be there because the manager decides that. It's a lack of respect for everyone. Then you have to be professional and you have to be honest. Be professional. Some people think that to be professional is to be fit. No, that is not to be. It's part of the job. Your job is to be fit and be ready. Be professional is to respect the decisions of the manager, the teammates and everyone. So when you are on the bench and you don't play or when you are on the pitch and then make a substitution, you start moving your arms, it's a lack of respect for the other teammates. And then as a manager, sometimes you have to say, okay, I have to manage that and I didn't see that, but this for me is not right. So if you want to have a competitive and winning team, you have to create a good atmosphere and competitive atmosphere. It cannot be you are on the bench and it's okay. Only if you see, okay, have Messi there and I know that I have to wait. But if not, you have to compete for your position.
Yeah. Rafa, at the time of this going out, you've been out of work for nearly a year. Is this the longest period you've had without football?
No, when I left Inter, I was waiting. People, they think that you don't get that job because this, because it's, sometimes it's because you don't want, because you want to relax and you want to analyze what's going on.
Did you need that then, that time?
It depends on the teams. Now, after Everton, obviously, I have had a lot of offers. I can tell you more than 15 at the moment. But I want to stay around. I want to stay close to my family. I want to stay in Europe if it's possible. In England, much better. But every day I'm trying to analyze something, trying to learn something. And one of the things that I am doing is just, I was in the university studying psychology. So then you analyze people, you analyze the way that you sit down, things like that. And then the body language, all these things, without even notice, you are analyzing that. And then you see, and a player maybe he needs to be treated in a way and another one in another way. You cannot change like you are, but you can change and adapt things. But the main thing is you need to analyze what is going on and then be sure that you are ready. Because I have a company, I'm working with them in software in Italy. I told Robbie, you lose 57% of the ball that you play from the back. You lose the ball. Then he said, oh, we have to play modern football. That is not modern football. That is a stupid football. Modern football is when you play well and you win. If you are under pressure and they press really well, okay, you have to play long and then you put the ball behind the defenders. If your striker is not quick, you cannot play behind the defender. You have to play on the floor with him. So that is my job, to analyze all these things and to be sure that if a team is coming, I'm ready, because I'm watching football, enjoying football, analyzing football every single day.
Rafa, you know your remit in terms of football, so you're talking about playing from the back. So when I was in Australia, so one of, I know obviously stat-wise in football, we had obviously the best possession in terms of the final third of the opposition. Now that sort of goes sort of the way maybe you want to play. So you want to get the ball away from your back line and play in the obviously the offensive third and obviously hair teams that way. Have you always wanted to play that way, or is that something that you've sort of grew into the game as you've developed your managerial career?
Always I ask some question. No, when people talk about me, they say, oh, Rafa is defensive. It's not true. So who has the record? It's a difficult question for you. Who has the record in the Champions League of goals scored? The team that has scored more goals in the Champions League in a game. Come on, any one of you.
In one game?
Yeah. 8-0.
I know.
Which team?
Besiktas. Yeah.
Liverpool Besiktas. Against Besiktas. Yeah. But then the other day in the Spanish TV, they said, oh, yeah, there are two teams that has done this record. Two teams in the world, in the Champions League. One is Liverpool and the other one is Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, yeah.
And who was the manager?
You.
Me, against Malmo. So if you have the tools, if you have good players, you can attack. 8-0 is the proof. With Real Madrid, we scored 10 goals against Rayo Vallecano, 10-2. So when you have, with Liverpool, we win against Birmingham 0-7 away. 4-0 against Real Madrid. When I was in Chelsea, we beat Aston Villa 8-0. So you can attack if you have players. In the Championship with Newcastle United, 4-2-3-1, and we were an offensive team. In the Premier League, after 2 years without the spending, 5-4-1, 3-4-3 against Burnley, but you have to adapt. The job of a manager is to get the best from your players, your squad. And then if you succeed, means that with this group of players, you are doing well. And another big mistake that people are doing is comparing teams from 1 year to the other year. It's totally different. 1 year with 86 points, we finish second. And another year with 86 points, you win the title. So now what happened? Because the financial fair play rules, you have the top sides with more money than ever. And then they have more money, they buy the best players. The price of the players are getting higher and higher. Spain, Italy, they cannot compete against the Premier League. So then you have teams that they can get 90 points, a couple of teams. And in the past, 90 points, you win the league, for sure. And now you have Manchester City or Liverpool or any other one that can go to 90 points. And then with 70 points, maybe you are in the, I will not say in the middle of the table, but with 70 points, you are 8. And in the past, with 70 points, you were there. You were in the top 4. So you cannot compare every year because it's totally different. What you have to do as a manager, in my case, and you, that you will be a manager any time soon with another team, you have to analyze how the game is changing. That is your job as a manager, to analyze these things and give your players the advice and after coach them. Because one of the things that I like is to coach players on the pitch, because I like to improve players. I like to see young players growing and improving. And then you can give them advice, little things. The problem is that if they want to learn, Because if they don't want, you are wasting your time.
If you had a blank canvas, what would your remit be in football?
All my time in the academy of Real Madrid, I used to play 4-4-2 and after 4-2-3-1. When I was in Valencia, we won two league titles and the UEFA Cup, 4-2-3-1. The way that we, Valencia, they have, when I went there, they sold Mendieta and Piojo López. Piojo López was very, very fast, a striker that was very fast, and they were playing counter-attack deep. Then I moved the line 10, 15 meters higher. And I remember playing against Celtic and I playing against Ajax, two games, that the average position of the defensive line was 52 meters. That is half line.
Halfway line.
So when you are good enough and you work with your team, you have time, you have some good players, you can do what you want. But as you say, you need to understand the characteristics of your players and that, okay, I have this one, I will do that. If you spend some time in the same club, then, and if you have some money, and you can buy players.
Yeah.
People were criticizing me when I was in Liverpool. Oh, Rafa is selling players. Yeah, because you have to sell players because our budget was 20 million and the last year was 17 million. Imagine 17 million your budget and then you have to sell. And you cannot sell bad players because they don't give you any money for them. You have to sell good players. And then you will sign a new player that has to be as good as this one. And the fans...
Yeah.
We'll not see that. Mm. Then that is a question of time and you have to be right. When you are not right, because it's impossible to be right all the time, and if you don't have the money to buy another one for 40 million fullback, whatever, then you are losing something. So I was 6 years in Liverpool. At the beginning, we had some good players and we were bringing Alonso, Luis Garcia, players that people they didn't know and they were doing well, but some of other players, maybe not. Then I remember spending in a striker 1.5 million and still people criticize that. Listen, 1.5 million is the money that we had. So you have to manage the situation that you have in the context that you have and compete against teams that they have more money than you. Then you have to be right all the time because if you sell one of the best players, you have to buy maybe a couple of players that they will need time. That is really difficult. And now, yesterday I was talking with a friend of mine, a director of football in Italy. And he was talking with an agent, and the agent told him, everybody now is talking about the big data, big data, big data. And then everybody, he said, I have five teams asking for the same player because all of them, they have the same data. So that is the difference between a manager, a coach with experience, with vision, that you can see a player and say, okay, this is the player. Because five people, they will see the data. Oh, you know, three assists, the three goals. Fine, fantastic, sign the player. But someone will say, no, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for this. And that will be the cheap player that maybe can make the difference. When I signed for Real Madrid, I was coming from, obviously, the university, and I was playing football, and then I retired, and then I went to Real Madrid, and I was over the moon. And then they gave me the under-16. And then I was asking a lot of questions. And coming from the university and analyzing football in the university, so we have a lot of stats, patterns of play, and test. We were doing test, technical tests. And then I was asking Luis Molomni, that was the general manager, do you do any tests to the players? He said, yeah. So in a trial, when you see players, how you choose the players, do you do any tests? He said, yeah, we do tests, visual tests. We see if the players are good or bad, and then we decide, he told me. And he was right. So I don't say that you don't need to analyze the data because I have my own database and I work on that all the time. And I have a lot of friends and you ask a lot of questions to everyone about players. But at the end of the day, what your team needs, I need a winger with pace and ability 1v1, or I need a winger that makes crosses, or I need a fullback that will be good in the air or with his feet. Or it's, you need to know that if you have the possibility to buy players, I want to play nice football like everyone. So I'm really surprised with people saying, oh, it's not the way that I want to play, but the first year I will do this, and the second year, maybe the second year you are fine. Yeah. So you have to play the best football that you can and win, because the fans, they want to win playing good football. And if you play good football, you can win more games. But if you cannot compete, it changes when you can, because if not, you will be losing games. Happy, but losing games.
Just a quick break to remind you about the LFC Store app. It is the place to hear about new LFC gear and store offers, and app users there will be able to access exclusive offers and discounts too. Download it today on Android or Apple, and you can find more details on liverpoolfc.com/store. Now, let's get back to the show.
Rafa, what was the conversation? So when obviously Liverpool were looking for a manager, so you've got Jose Mourinho just won the Champions League, you just won the UEFA Cup at Valencia. So Rick Parry's obviously had the conversation. What was his remit to you? Did he give you like a target where the club's got to win the Premier League, it's got to win the Champions League? No. You got 3 years, 4 years to bring the club back to where it was?
I was really surprised because when I signed for Valencia, I was coming from Tenerife, promoting with Tenerife. And then you went to Valencia, and in Valencia was, oh, you need to win. So from day one, it was pressure to win. When I came here, Rick Parry told me, so the target is in 3 years, we want to compete. Because the reality, and people maybe don't remember, but Liverpool has promised to be in the top four in the last years of full year. Mm-hmm. So they said, we want to compete in 3 years. We want to challenge. And then we played the final of the Carling Cup at this time.
Yep.
And then we played the final of the Champions League. So you had been a player. If you are playing the final of the Carling Cup, that means that until January, February, maybe you lose a little bit your focus, some players. But you are progressing in the Champions League and you have to play against Juventus, Leverkusen, you play against Juventus, and you play against Chelsea, and you play against AC Milan. What means that? A distraction. I was fuming one game against Birmingham that we lost, because winning this game, we were in the top four. And then we lost, and then the people was just thinking about the Champions League. It's very difficult to tell a player, listen, you have the chance to win the Champions League now. And maybe it was 21 years, I think, at this time. Yeah. And they lose the focus. And your job is trying to rotate, change players, to be sure that everybody is trying to be part of the group. And sometimes you make mistakes, especially when you lose. Because when you rotate and you lose, you are making mistakes. Mm. If you rotate and you win, great, fantastic. It's managing the squad. But we lost one game in the FA Cup. Everybody was killing me. Oh, the worst Liverpool in 40 years. And after we won the Champions League. Mm. So you have to balance and then try to make the right decision. But you will make mistakes because everybody's making mistakes. And in football, the difference is that you are not the boss in a company. You are the boss in a company that everybody is watching you every weekend. And they can say, oh, you are wrong, because everybody knows better than you.
One of the big results that people forget about was the Deportivo away, which is a 1-0 win, which was massive.
Massive, because as you say, people, they don't know. Deportivo de La Coruña was a fantastic team at this time. So they have some very good players, very good understanding between them. Coruña is not a big city, so the atmosphere was really good. Everybody was supporting the team. And it was I knew Deportivo really well, and it was a very, very difficult game. And we beat them. And I will tell you another story there. One of the typical plates in Galicia is the octopus. And then I was saying, okay, come on, octopus, you will enjoy that. And I remember Carre, Stevie and Rise, I don't like that. So I was surprised because everything is different. In Spain, in Galicia, octopus is fantastic plate, like paella or Spanish omelette. And they said, wow, that is rubbish. So I was surprised. I remember that.
Did you force them to eat it?
No, they didn't want, that's it. But for me, because my wife is from Galicia and octopus is the speciality, it's really, really nice.
Probably the equivalent to our scouse, isn't it?
Probably is, yeah. A bit of crusty bread, bit of beetroot. Yeah, starving.
My daughters, they eat that.
Let's fast forward to the final then, Rafa. It's something that you probably asked about every single day of your life, all of these years later. Is there something you can tell us about that final that we don't know?
I have seen a lot of lies. People say, oh, Gerard was talking. It's not true. Oh, no, the player, no. We were preparing the game quite well. My problem in Istanbul, obviously, was my English, the first one. Why? Because when you change the pronunciation of a word, and I talk with my accent, and they say, oh, you say club, you say this, a squad, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. But when you are the manager and you have to say something, especially at halftime, it's not easy because you don't want to make mistakes and you want to keep the motivation high. Go to the final, and I remember I was writing 2-0 down what I have to say, and then we concede the third goal. Then you have to think about, okay, what I said. We have been working so hard to be here, nothing to lose, blah, blah, blah. But after that, and I was talking about the position of players, I forgot that Luis, because I knew that we have a problem on the right, because we have Smeisser that he was not playing too many games. So we will be short of legs on the right, and after they put Serginho on the left, then Gerard finished like a rifle back. So you have to manage all these things at halftime, and you don't have too much time. You are losing 3-0, the player with the head down. And when I finished with everything, then Dave Galli told me about Finan. he cannot play another 45 minutes. You will make a substitution for sure. Then we have already Harry Kewell, and I was doing Didi Hamann. So that was two. Then with Finan injury, it will be three. So the last minute, I have to change Traore, that they were joking that he was in the showers already. So Jimmy has to come back, and then Finan out, and Finan was fuming with Dave. And we play three at the back, but different players. Maybe that was crucial, because imagine that the idea was to play Carra on the left, Finan, and Sami Hyypiä. Finan was injured. I put Carra on the right, and then Jimmy Traore, that was left-footed, on the left. Maybe that was a key situation. And you have to manage what is happening, no thinking too much. Normally, you know me, and you have seen me. I'm calm and thinking, because that is my job. My job is to analyze what is going on and what I can do now, when if we score a goal, or what I can do at halftime. Because halftime, you don't have too much time. Then you have to be sure that you... I can talk with every single player about one thing and two or three things for everyone, because the message has to be very clear. And I'm trying to, when I am writing my notes, I want to be sure that I have two or three that I highlight, that they will be the key messages.
And you've got to try and do that in a foreign language.
In a foreign language. You lose the message. I'm telling you, it's just, if you make a mistake and the player is expecting something and then you say something wrong, and maybe you lose the motivation.
Is that what drove the players on? And the players seeing you at half time, see how cool you was, did that give them a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit of ease? And of the factors that you spoke about, you know, your messages, so it's clear, concise, and keeping it simple and pretty basic for players to go out and obviously take your plan.
Depending on the players, sometimes you have players. No, we have Xabi Alonso, Mascherano, you could Lucas Leiva, midfielders that you can talk with them and you can pass a message and they will pass the message. But sometimes you explain players something and they don't understand that. So you need to know that, and you have to be very simple, very clear, especially halftime. Halftime, two or three things that you have to... Because I have too many notes, and then I can talk quite fast, you can see now, then I can explain to different players different things, but you have to be sure that the whole team, they understand the tactics, the movements, or which is the game plan for the second half, you have to change something.
So, you know, you say this quite a lot, that it has to be clear, has to be concise, maybe one or two messages. What were those one or two messages that the team had to go out with in that second half then?
The first thing was very clear, just stay calm and be sure that you could score one goal. So if we score one goal, we are back in the game.
Did you have to score it quick? Was that the message as well?
No, I knew, and everybody knows, but it was, we have to score one goal, because imagine that you say, we have to score quick, and then you don't score in the first 50 minutes, then you lose the belief. So it's really important to say this, motivation, so keep going, keep working hard, keep the belief. But after, the message was very clear. I told Paco before, so be sure that I will talk with the team, and then you go with Didi Hamann out. So the game plan for the second half was ready. I say, I have to change Finan with Jimmy Traore. But the game plan was clear. And analyzing the team, if you put both teams on the pitch, I wanted to go with quality with Alonso and Gerard. And Kaká between the lines, it was because Gerard is a box-to-box midfielder, especially at this time, he was younger. So you leave big gaps. And the second game in Athens, we lost because I changed Mascherano to put Crouch, not because that, because Crouch obviously was doing well, but we left a gap. Mascherano, that was in the position where normally the second striker is around, and then we lost this control, and then they play behind the defenders and they score, Inzaghi score. So these kind of things that you are making decisions, you have to think about. Some people, they say, oh, why you didn't play a striker and you play a fullback in the last minutes of the game in Athens? Because we were there, they were deep, we have to make crosses and we have to regain the ball, not put more people there. Because if you put more people there, you will not improve that.
Yeah, you have to get the ball first.
The point. So then I wanted that fullback because in the wide areas we were better, and then we can make good crosses and after win the second ball. So it doesn't matter if you make a decision. If you win, you will be right. And they say, oh, it's a genius. If you lose, oh, this, that, because that is football.
What was the aftermath like for you? I mean, you don't drink, do you? You don't drink alcohol. A lot of the players talked about where they went.
No, Istanbul, we have a party at the end. I was not drinking, obviously, but I was walking around. And I always say, my friend Richard Green, that has died with the COVID now, he was there and he was outside. Someone told me, listen, they don't allow your friend to come in. And I went outside. The Turkish security, no, you cannot. And Richard told them, listen, do you know who is this man? He is God. He said, he's gone.
Whoa, whoa, it's only one. It's only one. It's only one of them, Rafa.
Sorry, Robbie, but he said that. And then they allow us to go in, and it was this time was just enjoy. So I am, people think that you don't enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy when I do my job properly and when I see people happy, and that is the way. So I don't need to jump around the pitch, what I say. So my job is to be sure that I'm doing well and passing the right message to do better. If you can win it, you can compete and be ready for the next day. Why I take my notes? All my notes, they go to my computer. So I put the notes in, but not now. When I was 16 years old, when I was 13 years old, I was writing. When I was in Real Madrid, in my team, I was writing, I was giving marks. When I was 16 and 17, I was manager and coach of my friends and in the university. And I was writing everything, and I have my notes now. So Antonio, that was my player when he was 16 years old, now he's 49. I have every training session that he did. What I do with that, analyze that for the next year. Or for the next 5 years, to be sure that I don't make the same mistakes.
So the next day when you're preparing to go on the parade, are you already thinking about next season?
Yeah, I always thinking about next season, because Robbie said before, he was upset when I was telling him that. Okay, you have to think about the new year, how much money you have, which player will leave. So you cannot build something if you don't think ahead. You need to know what you have, your squad, the staff, everything, and then try to... Even the fans, what they want, blah, blah. Mm. So try to improve that. And then I did it in all my teams. I'm telling you, and I can guarantee that, it doesn't matter what people say, or the fans or the press, every single team that I have been there, I have improved something. Why? Because I adapt to the environment, and has been the same in every single club. Mm. If you analyze my time at Everton, we signed wingers because we knew that we have a striker like Calvin Ruin that he needed deliveries. We signed the wingers and we were fine until we have injuries. When I went to Liverpool, I was thinking, what they have, what they need to change. I was talking with Jerzy Dudek the other day. People were saying, oh, Rafa changed Jerzy Dudek. Yeah, because I knew that we needed a keeper with a different characteristic, like Reina, strong in the air, good with his feet, talking with the defenders. So that was a step forward. And then you have to do it as a manager. And then the player will not be happy, but you have to take responsibility because it's your job.
I love that, to be fair, because obviously everyone thinks, so as a manager, you are talking and thinking of the present. But I mean, the way Rafa's talking and describing it is you've got to leave a legacy and you want the club to grow for years and years to come.
And that's the hardest thing in the world, isn't it? Because you're managing expectation that you win the Champions League in your first year. Everyone's expecting you to do it again the year after, win the Premier League the year after. That's the reality of being a Liverpool manager.
And we did it. We were improving. The problem that we didn't have the money. People say Rafa made a mistake because he sold Alonso. But everything was very clear. We have Gerard that was coming back because Gerard couldn't play as a second striker all the time. With Mascherano, with Lucas Leiva. And then we thought, oh, Plessis maybe could be. It wasn't. So we have players that they could play in this position. But we didn't have a fullback, a left fullback or left winger. And then Barry could be the option. And with the money of Alonso, we could bring Barry and we could bring a striker or we could bring a second striker. When we signed Dirk Kuyt, he was a great player for us, but we didn't have money. I remember the chairman giving us the money. So then we have to give him back the money later on. But he gave us the money because we didn't have money. And we have to go for I was looking for a right winger. And then he said, he can play as a winger, as a striker, because I have a friend of mine that told me about his work rate, and then he could play in different positions. And we didn't have the money. And we have Dani Alves, and Dani Alves was around 10 million, but he was a right full back. Then you have to make a decision to sign a player that can play as a striker, second striker, right winger, or you have to go for a full back, Brazilian, playing in Spain, and you have to book as a right winger. It's a big risk. Then these kind of things, you have to make decisions depending on the context. You cannot analyze what I said before, this team now compared with the other one. No, because they spend more money. They have much better players on the bench. They can make different substitutions, things like that. Mm. Then for us, it was a difficult time, and I was really pleased because at the end, when Hicks and Gillette were here, everybody knows that we were under massive economical pressure. I wanted to sign Jovetic. Jovetic was playing for Fiorentina, and the price was 16 million. And in my head, with my budget, I had the money. And then when I went to sign him, he said, no, you don't have any money. Then we play against Fiorentina. We lost 2-0. Jovetic scored two goals. And he said, this is the player that I wanted. So these kind of things that the fans, they don't know. You as a manager, you have to make decisions depending on, in this case, the money available.
Is that tough, Rafa, from obviously trying to build a team as well, and you're talking about maybe the owners stopping you from bringing the players in. But from an insider, from player, did players want to leave the club, or did you have a battle keeping the players as well?
It depends on the players. You have players that it's better if they go because maybe it's the right time. So if they achieve something or they think that they can be in another team, it's better if they go and then you can bring some players. And then Xavi was one of the examples. So he could go because I knew what was going on behind the scenes. And then I said, it's time that he has to go. And then with the money, we have to get as much as you can. And with the money, try to bring two or three players to fix two or three positions. So you have to build and be sure that your team is stronger. Then some players, it's better to keep them and they are key players. So to bring you back is to bring someone that will be an example for the young players and the fans and whatever. And then you can keep these kind of players. Or sometimes it's better if he goes. Sometimes you have players with a big, big salary and they have to go because you cannot keep that. And then it's a difference with the other players or the club has not the money, then you have to make these kind of decisions.
The perception was that, and it's maybe an unfair one, that you were forcing Xabi Alonso towards the exit door then. It's from what you're saying that maybe he was quite happy to leave as well.
I don't like to say too many things that I know because they are part of the job. But when I told Xabi that he could go, he didn't go. And after, he could go, and I say, no, you have to stay. And I made him play an important game. And after, I knew that he had an agreement. I have to try to keep him as much as we could to get the price as high as we could.
As a manager, it's hard. So you'll have a plan and you'll have obviously a system and a way of playing. But if players want to come to you and say, well, maybe I don't want to be here, then you know, as a manager, you've got to think of the club, haven't you?
When I signed it for Liverpool, who was leaving? Which player was leaving? Come on, think.
Stevie.
No. Well, Stevie, yeah, you are right. I have to fly from Valencia to Portugal to talk with Stevie, Carra and Michael Owen about how I wanted to play, what I wanted to do, things like that. That was the first thing that Rick Parry told me. You have to go to Portugal.
So you have to persuade these top players to stay? Was that the first job?
No, this case was Stevie because he was under pressure from different clubs. But one of these players left. Which one?
Michael.
So my conversation with Michael was, what would you do? So I knew after the second day, I knew what would happen. And I had to try to get the best for my football club. I was talking with Real because I knew Real Madrid quite well. And I was talking with a friend of mine that was a journalist close to the president to give me information about what they were thinking. And I knew 100% that they will do the deal. So I said to Rick Parry, Rick, we have to do this price and try to put this young player, that was Juanfran, I was playing for the Real Madrid Castilla B team, and after I was playing for Atletico Madrid as a right fullback, a right winger. He was a right winger, and we needed a right winger. I said, try this player. They say no, and then they put Núñez in the deal. And then we did Núñez, that was injured, and maybe was not the best signing, but was trying to bring someone else to improve the deal for us. So, because it was done, it's just a question of how much. And I was talking with my friends in Madrid, trying to be sure that they were really interested. And I was talking with Michael about the national team, what would happen, blah, blah, blah. So many things, but it was clear.
A big thing now as a former Liverpool manager, going to Everton, didn't sit comfortably with Liverpool fans. Why did you go there? Why did you go to Everton?
I explained so many times. So I have a lot of friends that they are Evertonians. So then I live in the city. Then I know people, and I thought that was right after China to stay close to my family, stay in the city. And I was sure that I could do something important with them in terms of build something. But the reality that is a big difference between both clubs. And then it was, I would say, when something was wrong, the people that were against me, it was against me from the beginning. They didn't allow us to do what you have to do. When I went to Everton, I thought that I could improve, and we were improving already. I said before, we were signing wingers. We knew. Then we have the injuries, and then I know the problem that they have, and I know the problem that they had, and we changed a lot of things to improve that. Still, we were not winning. Obviously, we didn't spend at the level that they were spending in the past, but we were 6 points above the relegation. we were fine with two games in hand. But I'm not guilty of everything that have happened in Everton in the last 30 years.
Rafa, was you surprised at how quick the Everton fans turned towards you? Because, I mean, when you were at Everton, I think it was documented, it was the best start they'd had in the Premier League ever. And then all of a sudden you get a few bad results. And the fact is that you were a Liverpool manager, was that the big turning point for you?
100%. They say no, but I'm no, 100%. Because from the beginning I knew that some people, they were not happy because I was going there, because I was ex-Liverpool. But I said, listen, I'm a professional. I will try to do my job.
Did you consider the Liverpool fans, though, when you took the job? You say you're a professional. I think we understand the reasons why.
I'm telling you, a lot of Liverpool fans, they are telling me, listen, it's fine. Even Evertonians, they are telling me maybe they didn't treat you well. But it's fine. So it's just, I can't upset that because I am a strong character. You know? I have to fight. I like to fight. I have no issue with that. And Robbie knows me a little bit more now. But I'm competitive. I like to do things well. And if I go to Chelsea, I try to improve the team or to win. That's it. With Everton, with Liverpool, with Valencia, with Tenerife, I try to improve things, but that is my way to do things. That's it.
No regrets, Everton?
No, in terms of when I make the decision, what I said before, you have to analyze things in the context. So that was the right decision for me, for my family. And I thought that at the beginning was right.
I think that boils us down to probably one of the last questions. But what's next for Rafa Benitez?
Last week I have a couple of offers, but they were too far away. I have had a lot of them, even national teams, but too far away. I want to stay around. The problem, and I was talking with my friends now in Napoli, that because I had been in top sides in Italy, I had been in top sides in Spain, and in England, there are not too many top sides. Then you have to go to another level. If this level is not right because they don't have the money or whatever, still I have the same passion, I have the same capacity to analyze, even more experience, but you need something that is giving you the opportunity to show your level or to build something. People talk about my style of football, I need time, that is a project, blah, blah, blah. It's just gaining time. Football now is they want to win right now, and I want to win. But at the same time, I want to be sure that I improve the team, or I improve the squad, or I improve the club in any department. So I am this kind of person. I can see something that maybe I don't like. Say, why you don't do this in this way? Try to improve things. Then the next challenge, we will see what happens now, because you will have options. And it's not an issue for me, because I will get a job and I will enjoy my job, because I will do it with passion. But because I know that I can compete against anyone, then I would like to have a competitive team. And that is not easy, so maybe I have to wait a little bit.
Finally, how would you want Liverpool fans to remember you?
I think that the majority of them, they think about Istanbul, but I think they don't realise that we have 4 trophies and 3 finals without any money. And I think that one of the main things that we did at the end was we saved the club in terms of money. Economically, because it was a really, really difficult situation. And the story about Jovetic that I told you is the proof that we didn't have any money and we were competing with the top sides and we didn't have the money. So that is a little bit unfair when you don't have the money. So remember that my last budget was 17 million and you have to compete against Chelsea, Arsenal, United, Tottenham that was growing, or Manchester City was growing. So then I think that the fans, they realized that they was someone that I have passion, love my club, and then try to do my best. And I will be happy with that. And the people that they know me, I'm a normal person. I like football, but I'm a normal person.
Well, listen, you made them very happy, and we'll see you in the not-too-distant future by the sounds of that, won't we, in a managerial job?
Absolutely. I can't compete against Robbie in another team.
Yeah, going on for you.
That is fine.
Great to see you, Rafa. Thanks.
Cheers, Rafa. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks to you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. And if you're listening on Apple and enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating. It'll also help others find our shows. And also, let us know your thoughts on what you've heard so far. Remember to follow We Are Liverpool on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can watch us on YouTube as well. We'll see you next time.